Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Hello, everybody. This is Rick, and it is the 5th of December 2011. This is the AR Library call. So I want to welcome everybody on the call today. So let's get on with the questions that we've got here, which have just disappeared. Excuse me one second. There we go. So first question. I am studying interpersonal conflict and mediation in my course this session. It is so amazing and eye-opening. I wish we would have had this information in our Hope for Healing and Harboring Hope classes. Understanding how conflict collaboration is a way to go instead of avoidance and aggressive conflict styles, which are destructive patterns. Instructive processes are collaborative to four goals in life: topic, content, identity, relational, and process-oriented goals. These four elements and the many combinations of them that change with interaction of each other and over time are how we conduct our lives. Some of these goals are at our awareness level and some are hidden on purpose or unconscious. Knowing how we work together and accessing common and different goals is very important to know ourselves and our partner. Often relational and identity goals has to do with our feelings about ourselves, one another, and our points of view, which can be muddled. Deep clarifying and correcting if assumptions and being believed are not true about self, partner, and or the marriage. Destructive processes and spirals need to be altered into healthy connecting and affirming one another. Really listening while being healed, not just poked and prodded to stir up pain without anywhere to go, but at each other. Being cared for, heard, appreciated, strive for mutual success and deeper understanding. What I've learned is that underlying all conflicts is the need for healthy identity, goals, and relational goals. If these are frustrated and off, the topic content goals and process goals can mess you up big time, diverting attention to the wrong goals, coming to wrong conclusions based on unmet goals and misunderstandings. Keeping a positive communication is key to embracing the goals. Keeping at a distance can further the destructive patterns and spiral downward when thinking about negative experiences and unmet goals of being accepted and loved properly in a way that each person can believe and receive. It would be valuable to know from the start about the four horsemen, the apocalypse, and the downward spiral of conflict, criticizing, defensiveness, stonewalling, and contempt, and how to prevent and keep away from these in our marriage. I'm working on mine, hoping I can get to the point of asking my husband about his when our communication is improved. It's hard when I'm not supposed to contact him, but that's another part of conflict, is not pushing and doing the dance of approach or withdrawal. All of this is about infidelity of who he is and who I am and what we believe about the other's identity. Saving face is a major theme, also in coming to resolution. By active listening and honoring and feeling safe to be ourselves, my husband may choose to rethink his goals of wanting to engage with me again someday, hopefully soon. Whenever he needs to come to that realization, I pray he does, and that he's favorable to himself, to me, and to the struggling relationship, marriage. Valuing our relational goals of a better relationship in who we are together is a major goal of mine. He has to make a shift in the belief about me valuing him and valuing me enough to have some hope for us. This week, I have a cancer issue to rule out a possible threat to my life with a biopsy soon. This has caught his attention for my welfare and for him losing me for real. How can I engage lovingly with my husband in embracing our common goals and our different goals so we can accept ourselves and our marriage for the better through the worst? You know, the one thing that I think you said in here that's really good is always by listening and then listening some more and listening some more. It's really not about trying to make a point. It's being interested in what the other person has to say. I really believe in, especially the Hope for Healing course, we talk a lot about heartfelt listening and being able to listen to another person, not so much through a lens of how you need to respond to them or what you need to get them to do, but just being able to reflect what you sense their feelings are. And in that sense, typically when they begin to feel understood and heard, oftentimes that's what creates hope. So that would be probably my biggest suggestion in terms of trying to avoid the approach avoidance. It's really just by hearing the other person. The whole adage goes, we've got two ears and one mouth, so we ought to be listening at least twice as much as we talk. But even more than that, I think that when listening, that's where we connect through the limbic systems, and ultimately the other person feels they matter and that they have an importance. And once they, oftentimes we're able to really hear them, and where they're able to really feel affirmed and validated, it is that act that ultimately encourages them to in turn listen to us. So I hope that can happen for you. So the second question here. During recovery, I've accepted full responsibility for my affair and have not brought up any of the circumstances prior to it. Lately, my wife has focused on those issues, and it's almost like she's pushing me deeper into the pit of self-blame. I've continued to say it wasn't her, that it was me, but she's returning there more and more. I'm beginning to feel resentful for this. Any suggestion? Now, I guess I just want to say, in terms of listening to this question, she's asking what's wrong with her. Is my assumption when you say that she's going there more and more? The problem, and actually the newsletter this week begins to address this, frequently when someone has an affair, their mate truly feels that it must be them, that somehow it's their fault. If they had been right, then there wouldn't be an issue. And what's really going on is an issue of, I guess, a misunderstanding of who's responsible for what, because they begin to take responsibility for things that aren't their responsibility. I would continue to tell her that you know, it's not about her, that you probably would have done this regardless of who you were married to, that it would be incredibly helpful for you if she would believe that. And at the same time, you can say, you know, both of us in a marriage, and I believe this is true, have areas of responsibility we need to explore in terms of ways that we could have done things better. But she needs to understand, like we've said before, two people can be in a miserable relationship, and typically only one has an affair, which would mean at one level that it's not just being miserable or the marriage is pushing somebody into infidelity, and she's got to understand that. You might ask her if she goes into that thing of what's wrong with me and kind of pestering you in that sense. You might say, you know, that's between you and God and something you need to work on. I can tell you, though, my decisions didn't have anything to do with you. My decisions had to do with my own baggage. Now, were you a perfect wife? No, but that's not why I had an affair. Was I a perfect husband? No. Do I wish, you know, and hope in the future that we can do marriage better? Yes. But the marriage isn't why I had the affair. Our marriage could have been spot on perfect and I could still have the affair. So hopefully that will help a little bit with that. And answer her questions. If she hasn't done harboring hope, that's one thing I'd suggest. Maybe that would be a situation where she could get some help. Let's see. So for the next question. Dear Rick, I'm also reading from the conflict class about equity and balance of power. The low power person needs to have the power of calm persistence by persisting in their request. Careful thinking and planning small manageable moves based on a solid understanding of the problem. Focus on the analysis of the problem with careful calm attention to the problem. Also, staying actively engaged. Speak up and present a balanced picture of the strengths as well as the weaknesses. Stay emotionally connected, which takes courage. Focus on the process of how they will communicate. How do I balance power so that we can proceed with conflict management and come to a collaboration and hopefully repair the wounded ego of my husband? He's acting out with indignation, and hopefully we'll see this as also destructive instead of constructive. Our goals of relationship repair are probably different, but with forgiveness work, there can be understanding and transformation. How do I encourage him to forgive into forgiveness work together? Typically, before someone will begin to work with someone mutually on a relationship, there still has to be a reason or a benefit in their mind for doing that sort of work. So being able to help them find motivation, and it needs to be a heartfelt desire. I mean, a lot of times when people try to motivate somebody else into doing work, they do it by guilt or by claiming obligation or fairness. The problem is the other person may engage, but that engagement will be superficial, and ultimately they will end up being resentful potentially or bitter in the long run. So using negative motivation to get someone to reengage and to do work together really doesn't work. You know, if they will have a conversation, again, as I mentioned in a previous answer, listening far more than you're talking, so the other person feels that you're interested in what they're having to say and that you're hearing what they're saying, is critical for them to have the necessary hope to move forward. So, you know, I would just say waiting for the right time. If you try to force it, they'll feel like you're manipulating. If opportunity presents itself, I mean, you're best off if they begin, for whatever reason, to bring it up, where it's their idea. At that sense, you know it's their motivation. If you make it your idea and their pattern, the way they have viewed you has been where they see you as manipulative and controlling, then they will just claim more of the same and withdraw. So how you get that to be their idea, and I think you can, again, you can give, but you can't take. You can sit there and maybe offer. But if you push, again, they'll go the other direction. So that concludes, I believe, all of our questions for today. Let me see if we can refresh here real quick. Okay. All right. So that concludes all of our questions today. I want to thank everybody for joining the call, and look forward to seeing everybody next week. Everybody take care of themselves. To life.